bat car accident on Friday, and he's got to have surgery, and I believe it says he's having surgery today, or he also just went into surgery. So let's just lift him up real quick, not that we're in a rush or anything like that, but Father, we come in agreement with Brother Sean concerning his brother. We pray that the surgery, if it's still going on, that it is successful, and we believe your report. We pray that you repair, restore, renew his body parts, his leg, his knee. We pray, Father God, for total and complete recovery, his knee in Jesus' mighty name, that he's able to walk and that he's able to run, that he's able to leap, that he's able to jump, and that he'll give you all the glory and honor and praise. We send forth your word to heal him and to deliver him from any destruction that the enemy may try and set up for him. We pray, Father God, that your word will not return to you void, but accomplish what you desire and what you please in Brother Sean's brother's life. We thank you that Christian shall see the glory of God and experience your healing virtue and power in his body. In the name that's above every name, let it be done in record time, but let it be complete and thorough, where there's no repercussions, no second time afflictions coming about as a result of it, that they do it right the first time. In Jesus' name, everybody who agreed said amen. Amen. All right, thank you for that in Jesus' name. So we have in this season and hour that we're in, celebrating Christmas, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, we are all familiar with this passage of scripture. I just want to highlight a few things, and then we'll dismiss, and you'll be able to go and enjoy your Sunday afternoon. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless the reading and hearing of thine holy and grafted word. Hallelujah. So Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Well, let me read the previous verses as well. You can follow along. Nevertheless, there shall be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he contemptuously treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan in Galilee of the nations. Now, Isaiah, again, he's prophesying concerning things that are hundreds of years in front of him. These times have not come yet, but he's speaking under the unction of the Holy Ghost, and it's being recorded. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped and ready for every good work. No prophecy of scripture came by the will of man, but holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. No scriptures of any private interpretation, if you will. Men were moved upon by the Holy Ghost, and the same Holy Ghost that was on them is the same Holy Ghost that is moving in us now. Only thing is, Holy Ghost has taken up camp. He is in us, and he has clothed us for the glory of God, that we might be effective witnesses unto Jesus, even in our day and time. And so I love this passage right here, verse 2. The people, read it with me, 1, 2, 3. The people who walked in, well, let's see, we got different translations. So let's go off the screen. Okay, let's go ahead and let's give this a little work. It's been dormant for a while. Ready? Go. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. God doesn't forget about anybody. Hallelujah. He does not forget about anybody. He remembers everybody. He used Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob brought forth the 12 patriarchs. And of the patriarchs, you know, each tribe had their own assignment and their own lot of land and things like that. But one thing that Judah prophesied over, Jacob prophesied over Judah, and that was the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes, which meant the authority rested with Judah. The kingdom would come through Judah, if you will. And even though God is so awesome, his word cannot return to him void, because more things come up as I'm speaking. But God is so awesome. He said that the scepter shall not depart from Judah. The scepter, the authority, the power, if you will, shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, from his loins, if you will, until Shiloh comes. And even at that time, when Shiloh came, it wasn't that the scepter was taken away. It's that it's now it's fulfilled, because everything is fulfilled in Christ Jesus now. And so anyways, the authority and the power rested with the tribe of Judah. How many of you know what tribe Saul was of? Brother Ed knows his word. Thank you, Brother Ed. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Benjamite. Jacob spoke of Benjamin as a ravenous wolf, if you will, a wild one, if you will. And so Saul was of that lineage. So to fulfill the prophecy that Jacob spoke over Judah, we know that it had to bypass Saul. And so even though the people of God wanted a king, God gave him a king like them, if you will. But that wasn't the king that God wanted. And so even when Samuel was prophesying and the people said that they wanted a king, you heard me say this before, especially of recent, Samuel was offended by the fact that they wanted a king, because Samuel knew that God was their king and God wanted to be their king, if you will. And so he was offended, but God said, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. Let them have a king. This is what the king is going to do to them. And so anyways, you go on and we see that Saul failed God, and then Saul got fired by God. And at the time of firing Saul, God has Samuel go and anoint David. David was of the tribe of Judah. And so now we see things lining up. As you search through the scriptures, as you go through the scriptures, and you go through the genealogy, sometimes in reading them, it's like, well, gosh, these names and many of the names I can't even pronounce and stuff. And so it just seems like, and it just doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't add. There's a reason why they are in there. And if you want to spend the time to study and figure things out, you'll find it, oh, wow. And then you just start to see how the hand of God was just working and moving all throughout time, because we are all on the timeline of God. And we are like right here. They were like right here, here, and here, and here. But now here we are, and now it's our time to carry on God's work in the earth. And how long our period may be, we don't know. But while we are here, we have to be about our dad's business. Amen? Because this is what it's all about. Because when it's all said and done, you got Alpha and you got Omega. You got God at the beginning. You got God at the end. And all of this stuff that we go through in life, if it doesn't line up with God's will, who's there at the beginning and he's there at the end, we're going to have to give an account to him. And so we want to make sure that while we're on this timeline and while we're alive in this earth, that we are fulfilling the hope of his calling. Because after all, when it's all said and done, we're not going to have to stand before, you know, man, if you will. We're going to have to stand before God Almighty and give an account for the deeds that we have done in the body. That's not to make us afraid or put us in bondage. It's like, this is what life is all about. You want to know your purpose? You want to know why you were born? You want to know why you're saved and many of your family members are not saved? Because I knew you would come to me, and I knew that you would honor me, and I knew that you would fulfill the destiny that I have laid out for you. You're not here by accident. You're not here by chance. It's just grabbing a hold of the reason why you're here. God had more confidence in you than you had in yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. He knows we can do it. He knows we can handle more than what we're handling. God knows our limitations. He knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. He knows everything. He knew us before we were born, before we were even conceived. He knew our last day on earth, when we will breathe our last breath and breathe our first breath in his presence. He knows all of those things. He knew the day that we would come to him. And now that we're in him and he's in us, he's like, okay, you're on this timeline. Do your thing. Yep. Hallelujah. Do your thing for my glory. Praise God. We understand that kind of talk. Amen. All right, it's your time to shine. So the people who sat in darkness, now before coming to Jesus, we were like them. The people who sat in darkness have now seen a great light. And this is what Isaiah is prophesying concerning them. When Jesus is preaching up in those regions, this very word, it says, as the scripture said, or to fulfill the scripture, if you will, the people who sat in darkness, they have seen a great light. Hallelujah. This is what Christmas is all about. Okay, so the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light has shined. In other words, the people that you don't think God has any purpose for, any use for, or the people who just, you know, just, it's like God's like, I got plans and purposes for them. You have multiplied the nations and increased the joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the bar of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian's defeat. For all the sandals of the trampling warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with justice and with righteousness from now until forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And so we fast forward through hundreds of years, and we find the virgin who's in a manger, who has been moved from their place of residence because God stirs up a ruler and has him call for a census that causes Joseph and Mary to have to move, if you will, and they move just in time for her to deliver Jesus in the place that God ordained. Again, that sounds awesome. He's intricately involved in our everyday lives, whether we see it or not, whether we know it or not, whether we recognize it or not, whether we acknowledge it or not. February 26, 1984, it was a surprise to me, but it was no surprise to God. You know what day you got born again, or you know what time and season you got born again. It was no surprise. God was working. He was working behind the scenes. He was working right in front of you, even though you didn't know it, even though you didn't recognize it. But he got you to the place where you are today, and he's not done with you. Look at your neighbor and say, God's not done with me. Because if he was, you'd go on to glory, but you're still here. Amen. And you're alive, and better yet, you're alive to God. Hallelujah. Your life now has not only value, meaning, and significance, but your life is important. You are important to Dad. Yeah. You are a part of the body of Christ. You keep things going now. Yeah. You're not just existing from day to day. You don't live for, and I say this especially to the young ones that are growing up, you don't live for a career. You don't live for having an earthly family. Those things are good. A career is good. Having a family is good. But being of the kingdom is great. That is the ultimate purpose, the kingdom of God. And when you have your family in the kingdom with you, that is awesome. Yeah. But when it's you, sometimes it can get lonely. When it's you, sometimes you can grieve. When it's you, sometimes you have the joy of the Lord. Don't misunderstand me. You have the joy of God, and you are content, and you see things that you can't. It's like, how come they can't see it? How come they can't understand it? How come it's so difficult for them? Why are they struggling? You're struggling, and you don't have to struggle. I'm just, especially those who have come in and then have gone back. It's like, why are you tripping over yourself? Don't trip, walk. And after you master walking, now run with the vision. Run with what God has given us. The people who sat, we once wore darkness. We once were in darkness. Darkness was in us, and we were in darkness. But God has pulled us out of darkness. darkness and put us in the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his dear son. We once were blind, but we see now. We once were deaf, but we could hear the voice of God. We once were lost, but we are found now. Praise God. We're not aimlessly going around and bumping into walls and things like that. No, we know where we're going. We know where we're heading. We got life eternal on the inside of us. The greater one's on the inside of us. It's not on the outside anymore. Our lives are eternally secure in Christ Jesus. Yeah, and that's the only place it will be eternally secure. Take your life away from God and you are subject to everything that the enemy, the life, the world, and everything else will bring away. You become a victim. And God is not raising up victims. He's raising up victorious people. He's raising up overcomers. He's taking those who have been downtrodden and he's giving them an uprising, if you will, a lifting up, a promotion. The Bible says that we are his workmanship. And you can tell your neighbor, I'm still under construction. And say this to him, I know I look good, but the product is not finished because I'm still under construction. He's doing a good job, but there's still more to come. Bless God. Hallelujah. We're not dead. We're alive to God. Not dead is still perfecting the things that are concerning our lives in him. Yeah. So we're not in darkness. We see. We hear, we respond. Glory be to God. And so let me just get into this because I have less than 5 minutes left. I'm just going to read this to you, but then I'm going to highlight certain things. More than just a baby born in a manger to Mary and Joseph, we find a child born unto us. Now, you know, when a father and a mother go into that delivery room so that the mother can deliver that child and the child comes forth, male or female, they are identified by their parts and they present to them their child. You are the proud parents of a daughter. You are the proud parents of a father. You are the proud parent, and it's a happy time. So I'm sure Mary and Joseph, Mary being young, a virgin, Joseph being older, we don't know that he was married before. I don't believe that he was married before. But they abided under the law such that, and I've said it before, but it's worthy of repeating, especially in this generation, and if you hear it and you've heard it, rehearse it, regurgitate it, and speak it to others, because many are lost by certain things, traditions of men, patterns and cultures and society itself. When they were engaged, it was as though they were married, such that when Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, he knew that he had not had intimacy with her. Mary, when the angel told her that she was going to conceive and give birth to a son and told him his name would be Emmanuel, she's like, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? So Mary says, I'm a virgin. I've never touched a man. A man has never touched me. How am I going to have this child? And then Gabriel tells her how it's going to be. Joseph is like, when he finds out she's pregnant, he knows he's not the father. So in Joseph's mind, Mary has committed adultery. One might say, well, they're not married yet. It's just fornication, isn't it? And many don't even think anything about fornication itself, like there's no consequences to it. But those are the things that have led to what we have today, same-sex marriage and all, because people don't care. They just think they can do any kind of thing in the face of God and God's grace, and he loves us. And, you know, this guy, Pete Buttigieg, he cannot be our next president. I said that about Gavin Newsom being our governor. But, you know, in the sense of, you will boldly stand up and try and justify your sexual preference as acceptable to God. if that's the case, God's got to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah and the other men in the book of Judges as well. Anybody that God has judged for the wrongdoings of that kind of lifestyle or living, God's going to have to apologize to those people. He hated it then. He hates it now. He loves people. He loves us. But the perversion and things like that, he hates. Why? Because we weren't created for that. When we get saved, we come into the knowledge of why we were created in the first place. And God's way is beautiful. It is glorious. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. So Joseph was like, he was ready to put her away. Now, in putting her away, it wasn't the normal thing. Well, it's just boyfriend, girlfriend anyway. We just break off. We just break up. You go your way, I go my way. He had the right now to divorce. Not only to divorce, he had the very right to have her stoned to death. Let me say it again. He had the right to have her stoned to death, but the scriptures describe Joseph as a righteous man, if you will, and so he didn't want to bring embarrassment on her or her family, so what he did was he put her away privately. In other words, he's ready to go his way and not say anything, not bring her before the judges at the gates of the city, not have her or stoned or anything like that. He was just going to put her away privately and then go on his way. But the angel spoke to him and told him. And when he got the revelation of what was going on, he just jumped right in. And he's like, okay, well, this is my role. And so after they had Jesus, then they had Jesus' brothers and sisters. But Jesus was the firstborn. Amen. So you have a child being born. And so the scriptures, it's one thing to say that, you know, Joseph and Mary, they had the baby Jesus. But Isaiah prophesies and says, for unto us. Yeah. Jesus was born for us. He was born for Mary and for Joseph because they needed salvation too. Even Mary acknowledged the fact. Some people may not realize that, but Mary acknowledged the fact that she needed salvation for herself. That is one of the main reasons, I believe, in abiding by the law, that she brought what was customary for delivering your firstborn. She brought the sacrifice, if you will. And if she was this intermediate, or not intermediate, if she was the mediator between God and man, and if she was the mother of God, she never would have had to offer up a sacrifice. If she was of immaculate conception herself, she would never have to offer up any sacrifices. But what did Mary do? She offered up sacrifices because she knew, and she knew that she was giving birth not only to her son, but she was giving birth to the Savior of the world, whom she needed salvation of as well. Amen. Merry Christmas. Okay, I'm almost done. So, unto us, everybody say unto us. Okay, so we find a child born unto us. We find a son given unto us. I won't be able to finish this, but I'll share this with you. In the ancient Hebrew, the meaning or definition for son is more than just a male child. But now it speaks about the future, and it speaks about the continuance of the family. The male child carries, not just carries the name, but the future of the family is locked in his loins. He will one day find a wife, find a good thing, and obtain favor from dad. And every wife said, I am favor. Praise God. I'm not joking. Yeah, come on. Yeah. Yeah. You bring favor to the marriage. Praise God. And so I got caught up into the favor part. Bring me back. Bring me back. Bring me back. Praise God. He defined a good wife. Finding favor and finding a good thing and obtains favor from God. So he moves out and then he begins to establish the family. But the family continues. And in their days, many of them were still under the same roof, but it just extended. And so when you had a son, you knew that that was an expansion of the family. Yeah, nothing wrong with the daughters, but the daughters are going to go into some other family, if you will, and carry out that person's family. But it deals with, and that's how a son was looked at. Now you can see why when the scripture says in John chapter 1, verse 12, but to as many, if we can get that on the screen, Sister Teresa, we get some more Christmas stories coming up, sermons coming up as we continue to get closer to Christmas. But in John chapter 1, verse 12, she's coming. Patience, everyone, patience. Shh, patience. Amen. There it is. Everybody read it with me. But as many as received him, who is him? Okay. To them gave he power to become the You notice what Paul tells to the Galatians. He says there's neither male nor female in the body of Christ. We're one. Now, yes, the church can grow by families expanding. We're expecting the Mays to have some more kids in the future. They got four of them now. We're expecting some more from them. We're expecting some more from the Killings. We're expecting some more from the Mazes. We expect a future wife for Brother Sean and some kids from him. And so the body, the TFT, is going to grow in that way. We're expecting more, you know. All the wives might be upset, but the men are like, thank you. I've been trying to convince them. But anyways, and these younger ones that are coming up, we're expecting you to get married and have children and that you bring your husbands here and not have to go over there. Praise God. We pray that you meet your husband in this house. But anyways, the point that I'm making is that's one way for the kingdom to grow. But the thing of it is that if sons represent the continuum of family, you can see why to as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become sons of God. He could have said sons and daughters, and in one passage, John does talk about sons and daughters, but here it's like sons, each and every one of us representing a continuation, because this is not a male or female type thing, if you will. God uses a male, he uses a female. But in both, he's using them to grow his body. Jesus said this early on. I think I might have shared it. In this, my Father is glorified, that you may bear how much fruit? Much fruit. And so when you've got sons of God on the scene, they represent continual growth of the family. Multiplication, if you will. Look behind you. Anytime, every time. You know, just the reason I say look behind you is I'm asking you to look for something in particular, not just to look back there and see Sister Teresa, Brother Ed, Caleb, and Brother OCL, them and all, but look behind you. Can you see the multitude behind you that are coming into the saving knowledge of Jesus because of the fruitfulness and the productiveness of your life in the kingdom? A man carries a seed, if you will, and you know this. The woman has the womb. The seed enters the womb, fertilizes the egg that she conceives, and a child begins to form in her womb. And then 9 months later, on average, she will deliver that child. But for us, the seed is the word. And as we continually share this word, this word enters the womb of somebody's mind, their heart, and faith starts to come by hearing, and hearing by the word, and all of a sudden conception takes place, they get born again. And then they're taught in the ways of God, and then they go on and they do the same thing. And this is how it works. It never ends. The church doesn't reach a place, a plateau, where all of a sudden, okay, we don't need to witness, we don't need to do any kingdom work anymore, we're, you know, like the line is finished. No, we're still on that line. And Dad wants us to be fruitful. Anybody ever watch YouTube videos and things like that, and you see that line that goes across the screen? When it reaches the end, what does that mean? Okay, everybody agree with that? Because the video has come to an end, the sound has ceased, it's over. Well, it's not over. And so we're still actively a part of reproducing. Everybody's not going to get married. Everybody's not going to get pregnant. Everybody's not going to conceive and give natural birth. But does that mean that we can't be fruitful and productive? No, because we got the seed, the word of life on the inside of us to sow into somebody else and to sow into somebody else and to keep on sowing that we may be fruitful. That's what Christmas is all about. Christ came, the seed came. We received him. He's changed and transformed our lives. Now we continue to sow him into others' lives, that their lives may be transformed as well. And it just never stops growing. And revival breaks out all over the place. And before you know it, the city has given its life over to Jesus Christ. And they say those Threshing Floor Tabernacle people that we once hated, they have turned Antioch upside down. It's not the same. They've affected Brentwood, Oakley. They've affected Pittsburgh. They've affected Bay Point. They've affected Martinez. They've affected the East Bay. They've affected California. They've affected the United States of America. They have an infection. They have a contagion that continues to spread, and it's the message of the gospel of Jesus. Believest thou this? This is what you are taking a part in and a part of. It's not just about living day-to-day normal routine of reckless, crazy living out there. You know, Dad's not wasting our lives, and we shouldn't waste it. He's not wasting his, and we shouldn't waste ours. Stand to your feet. I'm done. 9 minutes over. That's not bad, is it? Okay, I can go another 30 minutes if you don't say that's not bad. That was pretty good. I love you so much. Praise God. It's such a privilege and honor to share with you. I just pray that it blesses you and it stirs you up to action. Because if the church doesn't respond to the call and vision and plan and purpose of God, we've missed our time. And so we live only so long, and then we die. We see that with others. I think I shared it with you before. My childhood best friend just died. And that's like only a week after a partner friend of mine's in the ministry, Pastor Anthony Blackman, died. And so when people die, it's not necessarily that you think about dying, but it's like, wow, you know, it's life is fragile. You don't know how long you have, but you want to make the most of this life while you have it. And if everything you've done has only been about you and not about God, that's what you're going to have to stand before him and give an account for. Amen. Father, we thank you. We thank you for each and everyone that was watching live stream. We pray that they've been blessed by the word. For unto us a son is born, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And we receive that because it's for us. We pray that you continually impact the region that we are in, the land that we are in, with the glorious gospel of Jesus. We pray, Father God, for open doors and opportunities, and that, Lord, we see the fruit of our labor, that our labor is not in vain, but it yields the desired result of souls being added to the kingdom. May this word go beyond this building. May this word go wherever we go. And may it go forth in demonstration of the Spirit and power from on high. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will continually move and increase in the lives of each and every one that is here. Perfect the things that concern them. Supply those things that are lacking. If there's anyone under the sound of my voice that is in need of salvation, it is as simple as this. Lord, I repent of my sins. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord. Forgive me, cleanse me, make me new. Take away the old nature and give me your nature that I may live for you. You pray that, you say that, you believe it, receive the salvation of the Lord, walk in it, live in it, enjoy it, because it is life forevermore. We pray, Father God, for any person that is just struggling or hurting, or even their body is sick and racked with pain. We pray for healing as we pray for Brother Sean's brother, Christian. We pray for others that they receive healing in this time and hour, that your healing virtue and power, it flows through the airwaves, it flows in this house. And to everyone who is afflicted, that they receive their healing right now in Jesus' name. We bind the strong man, we plunder his goods, and we release the kingdom of God in our midst. Let no one go out of this place the same way that they came in, but that you may be glorified in their lives. And now the Lord our God bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance on you, and give you his peace. His name be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, that the gates of hell shall never prevail against you. But you will triumph over the gates of hell, because you are the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth, the foundation, mainstay, prop, and supporter of the truth. The Lord be with you everywhere you go in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody who agreed said amen. Amen. All right, we love you. Those of you who are coming back tonight, we'll be back here at 6 o'clock at the altar for an hour.